Wounded in the house of his friends. When will the aborted latter rain resume? By Ron Duffield. Forward. Few authors have ever had the first printing of their first book sell out after 6,000 volumes. Such has been Ron Duffield's experience with The Return of the Latter Rain, Volume 1, a book of over 500 pages, and without his doing any commercial advertising. Obviously, something about the title grabbed attention, and why not? So many today are looking forward to the promised latter rain of the Holy Spirit, and rightly so. But unfortunately, most believe that merely by our joining in united prayer all over the world, the Spirit will then believe that it is time to come with the promise power. However, God is not playing games with us. The latter rain did begin in the 1888-1895 era, but it was largely resisted by church leaders, we are told. I know that it's hard to believe and surely needs some explanations, all of which Ron addressed in Volume 1. If few are aware of how Christ was really treated over 125 years ago, even among our own church fathers, is it possible that we are still wounding him by our naive or willful ignorance today? In this volume, Ron zeroes in on what was resisted and how that could very well be continuing today. In the several years since The Return of the Latter Rain was published, I have not seen anyone dispute any of his voluminous evidence for the clarity of what was preached, taught in 1888 to 1892, and why the latter rain has been delayed ever since those fateful years. Wounded in the house of his friends brings us face to face with the reality of divine sufferings that were intensified during the 1888 episode and aftermath, and that continue to this very day. His subtitle for this present volume is, When Will the Aborted Latter Rain Resume? The connection of an aborted latter rain with the Church of Laodicea in the Book of Revelation is important to note. Why? The Lord's description of this last day church, Revelation 3:14-22, pictures Christ's professed followers refusing to open the door to him. The one who stands at the door and knocks and knocks and knocks decade after decade after decade. Laodicea is the Adventist Potiphar village. For hundreds of years, Potiphar has signified something that appears elaborate and impressive, but in actual fact lacks substance. It is part of Russian literature, wherein Gregory Potiphar, remarkable head of the Russian Army and Navy, did amazing things, including erecting fake settlements with happy inhabitants along the banks of the Dnieper River in order to fool Empress Catherine II during her visit to Crimea in 1787. So Potiphar Village has come to mean any hollow or false construction, physical or figurative, meant to hide an undesirable situation. It seems that our Lord's description of the Laodicean church, Revelation 3:5-8, is best labeled as a Potiphar Village. At no time in the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church had it appeared more prosperous than today, more first-class, more inviting, or relatively more successful, or led by more academically educated ministers and administrators, or more publicly recognized as a major voice in producing healthy men and women. Theologically, most members, clergy or laity, feel they do not need a thing. Why should these dear folks think otherwise? They have all the texts to prove which day is the Sabbath, or where we go when we die. They all freely use the right words such as atonement, righteousness by faith, latter rain, and the list grows long. They have amazing personal records of how many evangelistic series they have faithfully attended. How could it be possible that our Lord says, "The more I look, the more I feel like spitting"? Some translations say vomit. Of course, the Lord does not actually spit out and give up on Laodiceans. He simply stands at its door as a gentleman, embarrassing as it may be, waiting for his designated people to listen, and to listen some more as the years go by. What a picture in words. God trying to get the attention of that church, which seems to do everything right and is proud of it. But he keeps knocking, decade after decade, for some to open the door so that he can really bring truth and peace and exciting joy to those who are tired of being satisfied with being merely neither hot nor cold. So what are Potemkin Adventists missing or lacking? In spite of accelerating numbers and impressive buildings, in spite of massive quantities of reading material from a variety of publishing houses, in spite of an enviable school system from kindergarten on through highly respected graduate schools, in spite of more pastors with advanced degrees, what do we need more of? Could it be that we are in danger of creating our own Potemkin village? If it is true that Jesus could have returned in the 19th century, why are we still here? Or maybe some have better ideas, such as going to the door and listening to one knocking who wants to come in and strip the Potemkin facade we have so admirably erected. Do we have any clues as to what he wants to say? Ah, yes. He never has left us wondering since the Garden of Eden as to what he would say. He offers us gold refined in the fire, white raiment that we may be clothed, and eye salve that we may see. All this is exactly what Ron Duffield is asking and answering in his first volume and in this interlude volume. Since 1888, Adventists have been enjoying their Potemkin village. This book, uniting with Volume 1 and the forthcoming Volume 2, will surely bring new readers up to speed as to what the gentleman at the door is trying to say to Adventists in the 21st century. Herbert Edgar Douglas, Yountville, California, 2014.